And we will read Psalm 42 and 43. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with a multitude leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why is so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why is so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word, that you can understand his word and his word would go down deep and bear fruit in your life 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for me that I would preach and teach accurately and therefore powerfully? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Isn't it interesting that when trials and troubles come into our lives, we cope with it by skipping God? Think about it. When do you or I skip our daily Bible reading? When life is crazy. When there is a crisis. When you or I are really depressed and we don't feel like it. That's when we skip Bible reading. When do you skip church? When life is crazy. When there are so many trials and demands in your life that you are too tired. When we need God the most is when we are tempted to pursue Him the least. When we need God the most is when we are tempted to pursue Him the least. Wouldn't it be great if you talked to your Christian friend and said, "Hey, how is your Bible reading?" And they said, "Oh, man, my life is so crazy right now. I am just so busy right now. I am going through such a hard time right now. I'm reading twice as much as I usually do." Wouldn't it be great if you saw your brother or sister in Christ in church this morning and you hadn't seen them for several weeks and you said, "Hey, welcome back. Good to see you." And they said, "Oh, man, I know I've been skipping, but I'm going through a really tough trial right now. I had to come." That's the proper response. Trinity Baptist, when do you need the light the most? When it's dark. Trinity Baptist, it is when you are in your darkest hour that your soul should pant for God. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" No doubt our author is being taunted and made fun of by the foreigner that dragged him kicking and screaming away from Jerusalem. He says, his tears are his food day and night. He cannot stop crying. He's in total despair. Have you ever felt that way? Our author can relate to you. Here is another question. Has anyone ever made you feel that way because you are a follower of Christ? Perhaps you took a stand for Christ and things did not go so well. Or perhaps you prayed a prayer and your prayer was not answered the way you thought it would be. Or perhaps you conducted your life in a manner in which you knew God would want you to live, and it seemed to backfire on you. And now the people closest to you are saying to you, "Where is your God? Where is God now?" If you've ever experienced that, our author of Psalm 42 and 43 can relate to you. He is there. And those of us who have taken a stand for Christ have all felt this way at one way or another. And perhaps some of you here this morning are saying, "God, where are you?" Look at verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession into the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Our author says, I used to lead the children of God in worship. Oh, it was so wonderful when my life was like that. But now, look at his response. Again, he's probably, we can't be positive about the background, but this author has probably been dragged away from Jerusalem by the Assyrian or Babylonian army. And he says, I used to lead worship in the temple in Jerusalem. But what is his response? He cries out to God, yet the enemies of God take over and take him away. And it looks like God has abandoned him. What is his response? Does he give up? He says no. Look at verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Even in his darkest hour, the author concludes that despair is totally not necessary. The first thing I want to remind you, my dear friends, this morning is no matter what situation you find yourself in this morning, God's children should not despair. God's children should not despair. Why? Because it is in the midst of trials that God gives his children hope. Amen. Jesus in John 14 says this, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Jesus gives us hope in the midst of our trials. The Hebrew word for hope, the same word is used in 42:5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why do disturb within me? Put your hope in God. And again in verse 11, put your hope in God. And again in 43:5, put your hope in God. The Hebrew word for hope is the word yahal, and it means this. Number 3 in your notes, the Hebrew word for hope means to wait confidently, trusting in the outcome. Wait confidently, trusting in the outcome. Keep your finger in Psalm 42 and just turn a few pages to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 12. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Look at this beautiful definition of hope that I've given you in your notes. Hope is not a pacifying wish of the imagination, which drowns out troubles, nor is it uncertain, but rather hope is the solid ground of expectation for the righteous. It's not a pipe dream. You're not fooling yourself. You have real hope in God. Look at verse 6. I hope you're still in Psalm 42. Look at verse 6. My soul is downcast within me, 42:6. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Our author thinks back to the promised land now, the Jordan River, Mount Hermon, our locations in the promised land. We don't know where Mount Mizar is, but no doubt it's in the promised land. The author remembers the beautiful waterfalls and the majestic sound, and he's reminded of his desperate condition. Let's finish the psalm out. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Have you ever felt that way? The prophet Jeremiah writes two books. He contributes two books to the Holy Scriptures. One is Jeremiah. And the other book he writes is the beautiful book of Lamentations. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet cries out to the people day and night, God's righteous anger will be poured out on you because of your sin. Repent, repent, repent. And it happens. God's righteous anger is poured out on the children he loves, and it is devastating. God's punishment to those people is devastating. And when it happens, the prophet Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations in response. Keep your finger in Psalm 42 and turn to the beautiful book of Lamentations. You're really close to it if you're in Psalms. It's just three or four books away. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. God has poured out his wrath on the city and on the people. Listen to their desperate condition. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. Lamentations 1:1. How like a widow is she who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan, her maidens grieve, and she is bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer. They find no pasture. In weakness, they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all her treasures that were hers in the days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. In Lamentations, Jeremiah goes on and on and on about how the Lord's anger has been poured out on Israel. He goes on and on and on about their horrible, devastating condition. Does he give up? Does he conclude that God has abandoned them? Does he adopt an attitude of despair? We sing the song, "Great is thy faithfulness." And I need you to know that it is in this context we get the words for that song. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 19. Lamentations 3:19. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says in the midst of overwhelming suffering. I remember my affliction. This is 3:19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. The prophet Micah talks about Israel's desperate condition, and he has the same exact response. Won't you turn to Micah with me? It's just a few more books forward. Micah chapter 7. Micah 7. What misery is mine? I'm like one who gathers summer fruit. At the gleaning of the vineyard, there is no cluster of grapes to eat. None of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each haunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts brides. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright, worse than a thorn. The day of your watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words. For a son dishonors his father. A daughter rises up against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Turn back to Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with a harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I hope that whatever situation you're going through today, you can say with our author that God is your joy and your delight. One of my youth pastors, when I was a youth, his name is Larry, and several of you met Larry, and several of you know what I'm going to say. Larry's son, his 19-year-old son, was driving to college, and he got a flat tire. And he pulled over on the side of the road to change the tire, and as he was changing the tire, a truck ran over him, and he was killed. And Larry, Pastor Larry, was scheduled to lead a prayer weekend just a few weeks after that, and I had signed up for the weekend. And I thought surely he would cancel the weekend, so I began to make other plans, and I waited to hear notification of the canceling, and it never came. So I finally inquired, and the person said, no, it's not canceled, it's on. So I showed up for the weekend, and here is Pastor Larry just a couple weeks after losing his son in this tragic accident. And there was about 20 of us in there present that weekend, and he said, I don't know why my son died. I don't know why God allowed that to happen. And my grief is unimaginable. It is worse than you could possibly imagine it would be. But I know this. God loves me. And God is good. And God is beautiful. And God pours out his blessings, undeserved blessings and grace on his dear people. I don't know why this happened to me, but I know that. And I will never forget that as long as I live. According to the theological word book of the Old Testament, the best example of biblical hope in God is our hero, Job. You're in Psalms right now. Turn one book back and listen to this profound statement. Job chapter 13. Job 13. My eyes have seen all this. My ears have heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I desire to speak to the Almighty and to argue my case with God. You, however, smear me with lies. You are worthless physicians, all of you. If only you would be altogether silent. For you, that would be wisdom. Hear now my argument. Listen to the plea of my lips. Will you speak wickedly on God's behalf? Will you speak deceitfully for him? Will you show him partiality? Will you argue the case for God? Would it turn out well if he examined you? Could you deceive him as you might deceive men? He would surely rebuke you. If you secretly showed partiality, would not his splendor terrify you? Would not the dread of him fall on you? Your maxims are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Keep silent and let me speak. Then let come to me what may. Why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life in your hands? Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. If you don't know the story of Job, he lost his possessions, his children, and his health in one afternoon. You can read about it in Job chapter 1 and 2. And his wife said, curse God and die. And he said, I don't think so. He said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. And that's the attitude we can have. Though God allow trial after trial after trial in your life, we can still wait confidently in him, because no matter what you're going through, he is a God of love. Would you turn to Romans chapter 5, please? We're going to go to the New Testament now. Romans 5, listen to this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Number 4 in your notes, our trials build our perseverance, character, and our hope. Listen to Bible scholar Douglas Moo. Suffering, rather than threatening or weakening our hope, will instead increase our certainty in that hope. Suffering, rather than threatening or weakening our hope, will instead increase our certainty in that hope. Brothers and sisters, number 5, when we are faced with overwhelming trials, we stand firm in the hope of our glorious future in Christ. Just 2 pages forward in your Bible, we have Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 18. Listen to this incredible verse, Trinity Baptist, and let it touch your life. Romans 8, 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly, that's hope, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. That's hope. Waiting confidently for God's promises. Trinity Baptist, number 6. When we are overwhelmed with trials, we can look to the Holy Scriptures as our source of hope. Turn a couple more pages to Romans chapter 15. Romans Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Number 7 in your notes, Trinity Baptist, when we are faced with overwhelming trials, we can set our hope in the God of comfort who will comfort and deliver us. Look at this great, great passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians. You're in Romans right now. Go to 2 Corinthians 1:3. By the way, you're here today, and if you've been here for a while, you're not overwhelmed at all by the amount of scripture we're reading because you've gotten used to me by now. But maybe you're new here and you're going, man, this guy is just reading a lot of scripture. I want to tell you something. Amen. I want to tell you something. If you will come here week after week after week after week after week after week after week. In 10 years, you're going to know this book, and that's my job. You're going to know this book, and that's my job. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Trinity Baptist, when we are faced with overwhelming trials, we can put our hope in all the glorious riches in Christ that we have right now and in the future. That's number 8. When we are faced with overwhelming trials, we can put our hope in all the glorious riches in Christ that we have right now and in the future. You're in 2 Corinthians. The next book is Galatians. And then Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Listen to this. This is verse 3, chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. One great method that you can use to encourage yourself is to insert your name where the pronouns appear. Listen to how it works. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed Dave in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose Dave in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined Dave to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given Dave in the one he loves. In him, Dave has redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on Dave with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to Dave the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him, Dave was also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that Dave, who was the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And Dave was included in Christ when he heard the word of truth, the gospel of Dave's salvation. Having believed, Dave was marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing Dave's inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Trinity Baptist number 9, we can have hope because Christ lives in our hearts. Several of you have lost loved ones in the past year. Two of you this week. And I want to close with this beautiful message of hope from 1 Thessalonians 4. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Trinity Baptist, the children of God do not need to be in despair. Whatever situation you find yourself in, hope in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to tell you right now that we know that you are 100% faithful and we can always count on you. And we pray for each other this morning that those of us who are going through trials and tribulations and those of us who are grieving, that we would place our confident expectation in you, for it is for this hour that we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.